Namaste and welcome to Vedanta, the River of Wisdom podcast, a podcast that brings to you the ancient flowing tradition of wisdom that reveals you are pure being having a human experience. I am Swamini B, a Vedanta teacher and a Hindu monk, and your guide by the side. Let us flow, you and I, on the banks of the river of wisdom. There is a lot of confusion around the word sadhana, which is reflected in the questions asked often. What will happen if I skip my sadhana for a few days? What is the best sadhana? If I continue doing sadhana for many years, what will I get? Let's clarify. The words sadhana, sadhya, sadhaka, and siddhi are derived from the same root, sad. When there is a goal to be accomplished in time, it is called sadhya. The means for accomplishing that goal is sadhana. The person who uses the means to accomplish the goal is called a sadhaka. So, the sadhaka accomplishes a goal, sadhya, by using a means, sadhana. The accomplishment is called siddhi, and the one who has accomplished the goal is a siddha. Every human being is a sadhaka, a seeker. When you want to go abroad, you are a sadhaka. When you want to return home, you are a sadhaka. At any given time, we are seeking something or the other. The question is, what are we seeking? In all that we do and have, are we seeking security? Or are we seeking freedom from insecurity and dissatisfaction? Moksha, or freedom from insecurity and limitation, is already an accomplished fact. But since it is not known by the sadhaka, the seeker, it becomes a sadhya, a goal of knowing oneself. So the desire for moksha is converted into a desire for knowing oneself. The question is, what is the sadhana to know oneself? The fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, especially from verses 4.25 to 4.31, speak of different sadhanas as yajnas. Most of the sadhanas are karma and hence are limited by time, place and efforts. Any karma, be it seemingly secular or religious, can only produce four results. One, a result that can be reached, like a place or even svarga. Two, a result that can help to purify you, like a shower or a dip in a holy river. Three, a result that can help you gain what you do not currently have, like money. Four, a result that can transform you, such as composure of the mind. A limited karma cannot give you the limitless. Different sadhanas or yajnas are not the direct means for limitless happiness that is oneself. Why is the sadhana called a yajna? Because all these sadhanas are dedicated to Bhagwan for growth. Literally, a yajna is a fire ritual offering wherein five things are required. Yajamana, the doer, Devata and his anugraha, grace, Dravya, materials, the lifestyle of a karma yoga or sannyasa, and the bhavana, the attitude with which it is done. Amongst all the yajnas, only jnana yajna helps one know oneself, Bhagwan Krishna speaks of this initially and also after speaking about other sadhanas and yajnas. Jnana yajna. Because there is a sacrifice and offering involved for one who pursues knowledge, knowledge also can be looked upon as yajna and is therefore called jnana yajna. The seeker offers himself or herself. Since the seeker alone is offered, who is it that does the offering? If someone else offered the seeker unto the fire, it would be a simple case of murder. But here, because the seeker offers himself or herself, it seems to be a willing suicide. Please don't take this literally. Unto the fire of Brahman is offered the ahankara, the limited ideas that one has of oneself. The ignorant person looks upon himself or herself as one who has doership and experiencership, because he or she takes the body, mind and senses to be the self. It is this small person, the seeker, who is offered unto the fire of Brahman, the knowledge of Brahman. So then, to offer the ahankara unto the knowledge of Brahman, the limitless, is the best form of yajna. The doer of the jnana yajna is myself. The one who knows is myself. What is known is myself. And what is offered unto the fire of Brahman is also myself. It means that I am Brahman, the limitless. This knowledge that I am Brahman is clear vision, samyak darshanam, and is different from the other sadhanas and yajnas that are to follow. When Swami Chinmayananda first started to give talks in cities, he called his talks jnana yajna. When curious people would walk in after seeing the poster for the first time to hear a Swami speak of Vedanta in English, they would expect to see an actual yajna kunda with fire. Of course, there would be no such fire nor the yajna kunda, the contained space where the ritual would be performed. Having said this much, Bhagwan Krishna goes on to describe other yajnas, after which he again praises jnana yajna as the best sadhana. The yajnas mentioned are not rituals at all, but because they are disciplines whose purpose is to accomplish moksha by antakarna shuddhi, they are considered to be yajnas. Such disciplines accomplish two goals. One is a certain composure, tranquility and steadiness of the mind. And the second is maturity, a freedom from the hold of one's raga-dveshas, likes and dislikes, that hold one hostage. Some of the yajnas or sadhanas mentioned are 1. Daiva yajna, offering materials to devatas. This is done in a fire ritual offering or a puja or chanting of stotrams. The result of doing these karmas or sadhanas is getting punya in the form of what one wants: health, wealth, harmony in relationships, fame, power, freedom from obstacles, and even going to Swarga. Performing Deva Yajna helps us appreciate the world as a manifestation of Bhagavan. It helps us to be in harmony with the world, and hence Deva Yajna releases us from the hold of ragas and dveshas and gives antakarna shuddhi. 2. Samyama yajna, offering senses into the fire of samyama, mastery over the senses. The eyes, nose, tongue, skin and sense of touch are the organs through which sense perceptions such as hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, and touching respectively take place. Here, the organs of sense perception and the organs of action are offered unto the fire of self-mastery. Does one pluck off the ears and nose or pull out the eyes and tongue to offer them unto the fire? Of course not. In fact, the person does not do anything. The sadhana here is control of the senses or inner mastery, samyama. People who practice this are not carried away by their fancies. All of one's activities are conscious and deliberate. When a person practices sense control, what he destroys or offers is undisciplined sense organs are offered into sensory discipline. Undisciplined sense organs are as though offered because when you offer the oblation, it disappears. When you offer ghee into the fire, after the oblation, ghee is no more there. Similarly, in this samyama yajna, what disappears are untamed sense organs. And in that place, what comes? Disciplined, mastered sense organs. And therefore, this is considered to be another yajna. Indiscipline offered unto discipline, also called Dhamma Yajna. 3. Indriya Agni Yajna. Offering the objects of the senses into the fire of the senses, Indriyas. Aren't people doing this anyway? Listening to all kinds of music, watching all kinds of series, feeding their sense organs with whatever sense objects they want. Just as a mother decides what her child should eat, how much and when, which becomes a discipline for the child until he can decide these things for himself, so too, yogis follow certain disciplines. The sadhana is to become more deliberate about how the senses are used and what one feeds into them. The senses are offered to the sense organs with a certain discipline. What and how much to see? What and how much to hear? What and how much to talk? What and how much to walk? And so on. Knowing how much to eat, for example, the person eats no more, even though there may be a desire for another helping, or food may be abundantly present. Without hurting dharma, the yogi perceives and enjoys the sense objects, feeding the sense organs in a manner that is conducive to the pursuit of self-knowledge. When the sense organs begin to become my master and I become a slave, I say no to what enslaves me. If I am addicted to coffee, my sadhana would be to be able to say no when required. The tongue need not nag me. If there is deliberateness and moderation, then one can enjoy all sense pleasures aligned with dharma, making it a yajna. All the sense organs are like homa kundas or yajna kundas, the place in which the fire is there. And thus, there are 7 yajna kundas, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, and thank God, 1 mouth. In Kathopanishad, the sense organs are presented as unruly, unrefined, and uncultured. They are like wild horses which are not tamed. If you try to ride the horse and drive it forward, it will go back. If you try to go to the left, it will lie down. Since our sense organs are also like that, one moves to disciplining the mind, the headquarters, which is behind all these sense organs. And so, unruly sense organs are offered into mental discipline. Offered means they are not destroyed or eliminated, but they are converted into disciplined sense organs. Without mind discipline, if you try to discipline your senses, It will work temporarily, like parents trying to control their children. You can, quote unquote, control them as long as they are with you. Ultimately, if they learn the value of discipline, then wherever they go, you have the confidence that they will move responsibly. The mind is thus educated about mastery. Still, the question will remain, what will you do with a mastered mind? Which is where Jnana Yajna comes in. The fourth Yajna is Dravya Yajna, giving as a religious discipline. Sharing and distributing things like food, money, clothes, cows, land, gold, vessels are Dravya Yajna. If you consider the river receives water from the mountains. On the one side it receives, and on the other side the river goes back into the ocean. The ocean does not keep all the water. Some of it is handed over to the clouds. From the clouds to the river, and the river again gives it back to the ocean. If one studies the creation, everything is cyclic and mutually dependent on each other. If there is stagnation in society, then there is imbalance. The divide between the rich and the poor just becomes bigger and bigger, and soon enough, it will contribute to crime. We give because we are blessed to receive. Out of wisdom and understanding, we come forward and share. When one has a small heart, the person is interested only in getting. He is not interested in giving, or he is not interested in proportional giving. Like some companies will give 25 lakh rupees as donation and spend another 50 lakhs for publicity. By doing Dravya Yajna, we become free from the limited ideas of me and mine and expand it to include others. In this way, it helps in Antakarna Shuddhi. Later in the Gita, Krishna emphasizes that Yajna Dana Tapas Karma is to be done by all. Fire ritual offerings or prayers, giving, and denial of comfort as a discipline are to be done. Na tyajyam karyameva tat. It is definitely to be done and not given up. And so in this episode, we have looked at Jnana Yajna and other sadhanas, such as Daiva Yajna, offerings unto devas, Samyama Yajna, the offering of mastery, Indriya Yajna, suitable offerings unto our senses, and Dravya Yajna, giving to others. All these are limited karma and sadhanas and lead to balance and composure, where one is not a slave to ragas and dveshas, cravings and aversions of how people should be or how life should be or how you should be. This is part one of a two-part series on which is the best sadhana or yajna according to the Bhagavad Gita. In part two, we will listen to some other yajnas or sadhanas mentioned, see the necessity of performing them for purity of the mind. We also inquire into whether these will help us achieve the goal of freedom from insecurity for good. Before we close, a quick thank you to FeedSpot, which compiles lists of podcasts in different themes, and they have featured Vedanta, the River of Wisdom, as one of the top 10 spiritual podcasts in India. A big thank you to all of the listeners for listening, learning, and enjoying. You matter. Your life matters. What you do with your life matters. Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful and offering insight, I do hope you will consider sharing this with your friends, family, or on social media. Would you like to receive an email every month that will bring to you more wisdom, more happiness, and more freedom? If the answer is yes, then our monthly newsletter, Arshavidya Bharati, is for you. It has articles on living our traditions, links to podcast episodes, articles and videos published elsewhere in the month, reflections about how Vedanta is changing the life of students, announcements about events and courses, profound Sanskrit sayings, and much, much more. And it's not too long. Do consider checking out this month's issue and also subscribe. The links are in the description of this episode. The transcript of this podcast is available on discoveratma.com/category/podcast. I would love to hear from you. If you have a request or a reflection, please write to me at swaminiji@discoveratma.com. That's swaminiji@discoveratma.com. As always, thank you for listening, and we meet next week.